We all want to live long, healthy lives, and we know that smoking is not a part of making that happen. We all know the dangers, but we also know that it's tough to quit smoking and make it stick. And that's where Nicol Block comes in. It comes in a little bottle, and when you put it on the filter of your cigarette, it blocks the inhalation of tar and nicotine. So you got to check this out. Go to nicolblock.tv and find out more. You can also call 877-835-6060. Now, whether this is your first time quitting or your fifth, Nicol Block is your best chance to stop smoking for good. The taste doesn't change, and neither does your satisfaction. But what does change is your dependence on nicotine. And as you increase the number of Nicol Block drops, you'll gradually decrease your tar and nicotine intake. It's that simple. It's gradual. It's effective. Call 877-835-6060. Stop smoking. Make it for good this time. 877-835-6060 or go to nicolblock.tv.
Donald Trump's campaign shakeup could signal the beginning of an even uglier presidential race. National correspondent Joe Gomez reports.
Steve Bannon, the new chief executive of the Donald Trump campaign, has been branded as a street fighter and the most dangerous political operative. The former Breitbart executive's hiring has sent ripples through Capitol Hill, with Republican insiders fearing that Trump will take a scorched earth strategy for the rest of the race. Kellyanne Conway, Trump's new campaign manager, is a veteran of political campaigns and tells Fox News her goal is to build up infrastructure.
Beefing up our field operations, our data operation.
Joe Gomez.
Connecticut Secretary of State Denise Merrill says it would be impossible for states' election systems to be hacked.
It has come to my attention that Connecticut is in very good shape when it comes to some of the best practices everyone was talking about in terms of security of elections.
This is USA Radio News.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voters Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
The Washington Monument has had its ups and downs. It's closed again today because of elevator malfunctions.
We got a report shortly before 11:30 this morning that the elevator had stopped between the 500 and 490-foot levels. One employee was on board.
84 visitors to the monument had to walk down the stairway. That deadly explosion and fire at a Silver Springs, Maryland apartment complex is concluded, Tom Roberts reports.
The spokesman says in just a few days, the ATF is expected to release its report of what happened last week at the Flower Branch Apartments. Meanwhile, the National Transportation Safety Board has opened its own investigation of the incident, saying they've already been assisting other agencies. Seven people are confirmed dead, dozens more are recovering from injuries, and more than 100 people are living in temporary housing.
Researchers may be closer to finding a treatment to slow down the progression of Alzheimer's disease. Sacramento's Sutter Neuroscience Institute is holding a clinical trial.
It showed that patients who received IVIG had decreased rates of brain atrophy, so there was less brain volume loss over time in the patients who received the antibodies.
Neurologist Sean Kyle says that it's a process of collecting antibodies through blood donors. After complaints about gender-neutral restrooms, Target is spending $20 million to put private bathrooms in all stores. This is USA Radio News. I'm Rod Williams Stoll.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost resonant frequency technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why I'm pissed off at NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, why I'm pissed off at the Black Lives Matter movement. I seem angry today, don't I? I'll talk about how your business can newsjack the Olympics on social media, five tips to find new clients, and how to create a perfect post on Facebook. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But as always, we get started with the weather. Currently 75 degrees at 12:05, and today will be mostly cloudy with a chance of a shower or two. Then clearing skies this evening with a high of 86 and a low of 67. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny and very warm with a high of 90 degrees and a low of 69. The humidity will return at night. For Saturday, we're going to have partly sunny skies with a high of 89 and a low of 71. And for Sunday, the chance of a thunderstorm in spots continues under mostly cloudy skies with a high of 86 and a low of 70 degrees. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 2.05 to 18,575.99. The NASDAQ is up 11.21 to 5239.87. S&P 500 is up 2.59 to 2184.81. Oil is up $1.26 to $48.78 per barrel. And gold up $6.50 to $1,355.30 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are up to date. Now it's time to get on with the rest of the program at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Well, welcome to the program, everybody. It's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business, as we do every Thursday at this time. So glad you could join us once again. Lot to talk about this week. As I mentioned in the open, a little bit of anger management issues this week with a couple of organizations. We're going to get into that in just a second. Did want to mention the quick check of the Olympic medal count. Is showing that right now the United States is way out in front with 94 total medals, 31 of them gold, 32 silver, 31 bronze. Great Britain is second with 52 medals, 19 gold, 20 silver, 13 bronze. China in third at 54, it's just how they rank the medals, 19 gold, 15 silver, 20 bronze. Russia would be fourth with 41 overall medals, and Germany has 30. With 13 of those being gold, 8 silver, and 9 bronze. Volleyball, the beach volleyball, ended up there with Kerry Walsh Jennings coming in with the bronze medal, upset by the Brazilian team the other night. And there was a story last weekend about Ryan Lochte, the American swimmer, possibly being robbed at gunpoint. It sounded fishy from the get-go, and just before we went on the air, it was announced that Brazilian authorities, as well as members of the USOC, have determined that the story was fabricated and that Ryan Lochte was not robbed at gunpoint, nor were his teammates. So that's just a bad thing all around for the United States Olympic team to have get embroiled in that kind of a controversy. So sorry to hear that was made up, and hopefully everybody will be able to move on past that. Been a great week at Crown Trophy of Flemington. We introduced a new product this week. I had seen it at our summer show, and so I'll tell you about that right now. It's called an embroidered sports ball, and what I want you to think about is, and I had a posting on this that shows it on a video on my Facebook page, but what it basically is, picture a football, and the company deflates the ball, takes the ball apart, and embroiders whatever you want it to say on the side panels. Then they stitch it back together, reinflate it, and then you have a permanent keepsake. So if you're thinking of a state championship team or a varsity sports award or a senior award, ideal for that. And they can do volleyballs, football, basketball, baseballs, and softball. Think about restitching those up. So we got the two samples in the showroom this week, the basketball and the football, and I'm just thrilled. I can't wait to start marketing this to local high schools and sports teams, and I think that it's something that will do very well. So if you're interested, by all means, stop by the show or the showroom, and we'll go over that with you. Now, and I've had a lot of comments on this next, on the preview of the show, like, why are you so mad at Roger Goodell? Why are you so mad at Black Lives Matter? And we'll get into both of those in just a minute. Why I'm pissed at NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. I'm not sure if you saw this, but in the Dallas Cowboys in the preseason, there was a little sticker, maybe a one-inch circle, that was on the back of their helmet. It was the five-point star, and it was in honor and memory of the five Dallas police officers who were killed in the ambush about a month and a half ago. The NFL came down and said, nope, can't do it. We're not going to let you put that sticker on your helmet. And this is a chance for Roger Goodell to do the right thing, and he went the wrong way. Now, as you know, Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the NFL, and this is proving that he is, in fact, a joke. He's the most powerful man in sports. He runs a league that practically prints money, and it's beloved all over the world. And he's becoming the biggest joke out there. Now, it doesn't take much to convince a Patriots fan of this. Just mention the term Deflategate to any New England fan, and you will hear chapter and verse on how terrible the commissioner is. Like it or not, however, the players agreed to make him the final decision maker, which they likely played into Tom Brady's decision to accept the punishment. But when Goodell starts exerting his over-authority regarding a smaller issue, that's when he becomes a joke. And when it involves denying a team the right to honor the victims of a terrible tragedy in their hometown, then it's just downright embarrassing. Now, for anyone that wasn't aware, the Cowboys requested the opportunity to wear a decal on the back of their helmets. Not on the shirts or anywhere else, just a decal on the back of the helmets, as you would if a player died in the offseason. And this was to recognize the officers who were slain in the ambush in Dallas. Now, that wasn't an acceptable idea, thanks to Roger and the NFL's draconian uniform rules. As reported by Fox Sports, the NFL denied the request. Goodell and company went further than that, as Pro Football Talk wrote, by extending the denial into the preseason. What an embarrassment. A game that is the most popular in America can't find a way to honor American heroes. Absolutely pathetic. The president of the Dallas Fallen Police Officer Foundation said it best when he said the NFL had an opportunity to be leaders and advocates for change in law enforcement. Sergeant Demetric Penny, who's the president of the foundation, told the website, "These are our friends and our loved ones, and it hurts not to have the NFL fully support us." He should be hurt. He should also be offended. Let's see. Who are those guys that make arrests of unruly fans? Policemen. Who helps keep the stadium safe in the wake of attacks and potential attacks? Policemen. Policemen are employed by the league to keep games safe, fans safe, and events under control. They are an essential part of the game day process. But Roger Goodell couldn't make an exception to the uniform rules and allow five of them to be honored. It's apparently okay to break the rules, to break those same rules to honor fallen members of the NFL family, though, whether it be players, owners, or in this case of Mr. Kraft, family members of owners. Those are all acceptable, but it's not okay to honor cops. By the way, the sainted Goodell had nothing to say when the Rams ran out of the tunnel for a game giving the Black Lives Matter salute. Okay, it's all right to protest cops, but to not honor them? Seriously? It's completely acceptable to have rules. It's not acceptable to be a hypocrite, and that's exactly what Roger Goodell is, a hypocrite. And the Dallas police are owed an apology. His actions are simply embarrassing. We're going to have more of Taking Care of Business right after this.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI,
the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, with you for about the next 45 minutes as we tackle issues affecting businesses large and small here in Flemington, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. I put a teaser out this morning that I was a little pissed off at Roger Goodell, which I went over during the break, and then also about how I'm kind of pissed off at the actions of the Black Lives Matter movement. And a couple people called me and they said, I don't think that's a good idea to go into that story. And I think it's exactly a good idea to go into this story, and I'll tell you why. Black Lives Matter is pushing our cities back to the brink. Now, to listen to some of the protesters, the Milwaukee shooting was the excuse for the riot, not the reason. What happens when a city combines body cameras, a model law requiring independent investigations of police shootings, and a police chief so committed to reforming the way cops interact with the black community that he's profiled on public radio's immensely popular program, This American Life? What happens is that in that same city, when a black cop shoots an armed black suspect toting a stolen gun, a gun the suspect reportedly refused to put on the ground despite repeated commands, do the legal reforms increase community trust? Or does the city erupt in riots and violence? If you chose riots and violence, then you're correct. That's exactly what happened in Milwaukee this weekend in response to the police shooting of Sylville Smith. Police pulled Smith over on Saturday afternoon. He fled from the scene, and police gave chase. Smith was carrying a stolen handgun and had apparently a long criminal history. An officer with 6 years' experience caught Smith, reportedly ordered him to drop the gun, and open fire when Smith failed to comply, shooting him in the chest and the arm, and Smith died. According to police, the shooting was caught on camera. The footage has not yet been released. But rather than wait for the evidence or for any semblance of an investigation, hundreds of Milwaukee residents rioted, burning police cars, looting stores, and attacking police. Indeed, to listen to some of the protesters and political leaders, the shooting was merely the excuse for the riot, not the justification. One protester told reporters that riots are happening because rich people, they got all this money, and they're not trying to give us none. Is that how it works in America now? And City Alderman Khalif Rainey said that the riots were byproducts of the injustice, the unemployment, the undereducation that he says makes Milwaukee the worst place to live for African Americans in the entire country. He ended with an ominous warning. Rectify this immediately, because if you don't, the vision of downtown, all of that, you're one day away. You're one day away. Then, of course, Black Lives Matter leader DeRay McKesson added his own helpful thoughts, without any meaningful evidence that the police shooting was unlawful. If radical activists have their way, American cities will be ungovernable. Any police shooting will excuse a riot, even without lies like hands up, don't shoot. In such an environment, police reforms are less about improving police-community relations or about making poor communities safe than they are about the raw exercise of power.
Indeed, the results speak for themselves. Despite its reforms, Milwaukee has been racked by levels of homicide not seen since the bad days of the early 1990s. Last year, the number of fatal shootings, disproportionately black-on-black violence, hit a 22-year high. This year is set to be terrible as well, with 83 homicides already this year. More than three-quarters of the victims are black, and they are not being killed by cops. So yes, Alderman Rainey, Milwaukee may be a terrible place for African-Americans, but it is not because of the police. Here's the sobering reality of modern urban life. If police use the kinds of aggressive policing techniques that have been part of the decades-old solution to the soaring crime rates of the 1980s and early 90s, they increase interactions with the community and inevitably increase the potential for abuse. If, however, the police back off appreciably, decreasing the number of arrests and stops, then, as we've seen in city after city, think Chicago, homicide rates soar. But being an activist means never saying you're sorry, so in either case, oppression and death are the cops' fault. Police aggressively, and the police are to blame for strained community relations. Back off, and the police are to blame for the chaos and the violence that ensues. Black Lives Matter keeps getting more and more radical. Will the media care? The destructiveness of Black Lives Matter lies in its fundamental inability to recognize that the primary responsibility for peace and justice within the black communities belongs to the community itself. The police are not making black people kill each other at alarming rates. The police are not making black people drop out of school or black men father children out of wedlock. Yet it's remarkable the extent to which anti-police activists simply take those factors as givens and then demand that police know exactly how to navigate and diffuse the resulting inevitable social pathologies. In other words, activists demand the impossible and then riot when their impossible demands aren't met. Unless cooler heads prevail, they will continue to push our cities back to the brink. Back to the bad old days when murder rates were so high that people openly wondered if our great urban communities were doomed to fail. You want to save our cities? Then reject the radicals. In the name of justice, they bring chaos. And in the name of peace, they bring death. A few weeks ago on this program, I said that if citizens continue to riot and attack the police, we would find ourselves under martial law. Wisconsin's Governor Scott Walker did the right thing and did not hesitate to call in the National Guard. And other cities will be forced to do the same, also incurring curfews. The problem that Black Lives Matter doesn't seem to get is that when you loot, steal, riot, and burn businesses down, you're only hurting the community more. Some cities take years to recover. Some never do. When you think in the past of the Watts riots, the Plainfield riots, the Newark riots, and many cities back in the 60s, how many of those towns have been restored to their former glory? I can remember that Plainfield used to be called the Queen City, and it was a treat to be able to go there. Now, not so much. Instead of riots, Black Lives Matter, the government, police units, parents, businesses, and anyone who cares about this country must open a dialogue so that everyone can understand how to get along with one another. Milwaukee was once the manufacturing capital of the world. Now it has 40% unemployment. But how can we attract investors and companies to move back to Milwaukee when its own citizens rise up and burn businesses down? Black Lives Matter is doing more harm than good in these situations and driving the hands of time backward toward the 1960s and the pre-Civil Rights Act. Martin Luther King Jr. said that he hoped that one day his children would be judged not by the color of their skin, but rather on the content of their character. If that is true, how are we to judge the looters and the rioters and the people who burn down businesses in Milwaukee and shoot fellow black citizens? Where is the content of their character? Black Lives Matter, to me, could be one of the most powerful risings in American history. You have a lot of followers, but you're sending out the wrong message. It's time to do it in a peaceful way, just the same way that Martin Luther King Jr. had proposed. Peacefully protest, but get in the room with the right people and start opening that dialogue and then get that out to your communities so that they, in turn, will do the same. And on the flip side, the men in blue also have to know that they have to act accordingly. I spoke to a police officer this morning from Central New Jersey on an unrelated matter, and then we somehow got on this topic. And he said, you know, for the first time in my career, the other day I was in a situation, and I had to draw my weapon. And he goes, for that split second, and he goes, and it was probably longer than a split second, I held my hand on my holster. and refused to draw my gun because I started thinking about what the repercussions would be. That split second could have cost that officer his life, and when I reminded him of that, he totally agreed, and his wife told him, don't ever hesitate again. You have to act on instinct. Just like the officer who shot this man in Milwaukee did, sometimes you have to understand that the risk is worth the end game and the end result. And so if someone is pointing a gun at a police officer, guess what? I think the odds are against you that you're going to come out on the right end. Another person had a great idea. So many times we're starting to see people get pulled over in police stops on highways. And rather than comply, they start to fight. They start to argue. They want to cause confrontation. Maybe in school, when kids are getting their driver's licenses, part of the lesson has to be how to act during a police stop. Just do what the police officer says. Give them your license, your registration, your insurance card. Answer the questions. And then maybe we'll start working on a right path to curing the ills of this society. But it has to begin at the bargaining table and not with a Molotov cocktail thrown into the window of a business. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to continue with the program. Now, why do I go off on Black Lives Matter? And it's not just about them, you know, because there's arguments to both sides. It does affect businesses. When you start burning the businesses down, and when you think about the thousands of businesses that were burned in Los Angeles after the Rodney King verdict, when you think about the 200 businesses that were burned in Baltimore last year, and now this episode in Milwaukee, you're hurting your own community. You're hurting your neighbors that own those businesses. You're hurting your neighbors that work in those businesses. You're hurting the local economy. And you're doing it thinking that you're right when you're dead wrong, and it's got to stop. So hopefully, in time, it will. But again, it starts at the bargaining table. And Obama has been completely quiet on this shooting, and shame on him for that. But he should also be bringing in the Black Lives Matter people, the Police Unity Tour people, the police union people, and getting these people to start a dialogue so that we can figure out what the core problem is and then how to fix it. All right. On to happier topics, like business, one of my favorite topics. How do you newsjack the Olympics on social media without getting busted? Now, getting customers' attention on social media is a bear when all the internet wants to talk about is hashtag Simone or hashtag Phelps face. How do you break through all that chatter about the Olympics with your small business message? It's easy. If you can't beat them, join them. Now, this is a tactic that public relations pros calls newsjacking. Newsjacking is when a company finds a way to make itself part of a larger, trending conversation. For example, a local plumbing business might not be able to afford to buy a commercial spot on the NBC affiliate station during the Olympics. Actually, the United States Olympic Committee has gone so far as to send takedown notices to non-sponsored businesses who use the word Olympics or reproduce any USOC trademarks in social media posts. What the plumber can do instead is post a timely reference to a trending topic from the big event. For instance, got green water in your pool or toilet or sink or tub? Call Dave's Plumbing today. Now, in this example, you're making reference to a newsworthy event, the diving in water polo pools in Rio turning bright green with algae, without violating any intellectual property laws or spending thousands on TV ads. You can check out Clorox's hashtag green pool tweet for an example of how to do it right. Remember these rules before you start jacking the news on your own social media feed. Number one, don't try to talk over the roar. So instead of posting on a topic likely to be overshadowed by a trending major event, look for creative ways to start a conversation with your followers and potential customers related to the big news of the day. Number two, do no harm. An easy way to incur the wrath of an angry social media mob is to capitalize inappropriately on a trending topic. Some things are fair game, like the hashtag green pool fiasco. Other events are off limits for playful referencing. Marketing messages around a national tragedy or natural disaster are completely distasteful, though plenty of corporate brands have gotten themselves in hot water for tweeting about 9/11, hurricanes, and political revolutions. When in doubt, just don't go there. And number three, bring it back to your business. Posting on a trending topic does no good if it doesn't bring people around to the products and services that you sell. So if you're a plumber, don't just make a social media joke about green water. Tie your post to a special promotion you might have going on right now, or offer a small discount to customers who share your hashtag green pool post with their friends. Following this rule means social media interactions lead to real-world sales. And isn't that what we all want after all? You're listening to Taking Care of Business. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, we got a whole lot more to talk about, including 10 ways to boost your local search ranking. Wouldn't everybody like to be able to do that? We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Well, that was a court order. Court orders have to be followed.
As a Brazilian police officer, after pulling two U.S. Olympians off a flight back to the United States, Brazilian authorities are questioning them about the robbery of Ryan Lochte. Critics say that Rio's just trying to cover up for the fact they've had very poor security during the Olympics. Louisiana residents trying to recover.
I stayed through hurricanes. I stayed through other things. This is got to be the worst.
At least 13 people are now confirmed dead from the flooding in Louisiana. Critics are pointing out that President Obama has not come to visit the scene. They're wondering why those who condemn President Bush for not visiting New Orleans after Katrina are not condemning President Obama for not visiting the flood damage. And there's been another hack of the Democratic National Committee, this time taking information on their biggest donors, those donors now under identity theft attacks. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
We all want to live long, healthy lives, and we know that smoking is not a part of making that happen. We all know the dangers, but we also know that it's tough to quit smoking and make it stick. And that's where Nickel Block comes in. It comes in a little bottle. And when you put it on the filter of your cigarette, it blocks the inhalation of tar and nicotine. So you got to check this out. Go to nicoblock.tv and find out more. You can also call 877-835-6060. Now, whether this is your first time quitting or your fifth, Nicoblock is your best chance to stop smoking for good. The taste doesn't change, and neither does your satisfaction. But what does change is your dependence on nicotine. And as you increase the number of Nickel Block drops, you'll gradually decrease your tar and nicotine intake. It's that simple. It's gradual. It's effective. Call 877-835-6060. Stop smoking. Make it for good this time. 877-835-6060 or go to nickelblock.tv.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I had a woman email me yesterday, and she goes, Jim, don't yell at me. I know I should have come to you first. You're the only person who can help me. And, you know, at Crown Trophy of Flemington, we also have our sign shop, a full-functioning sign shop. And we've done a lot of work with this company, and someone else had contracted with a sign company that has since informed them they can't complete the job on time. So she called me up and she said, look, I understand if you say no, but hey, is there any way you can make us these six signs? We're moving to a new location and they have to be out on the road and in the building and all stuff. And I was like, sure, we can get that done. No problem. She goes, how can you get it done, but they can't get it done? I was like, I don't know, but we can get it done. So we're meeting with the contractors and everything. We get it. We're going to get it all done and installed by September 2nd. And she goes, from now on, I'm calling you first. And it's like, I love that. You know, that there's no better feeling than knowing that you're a resource for people. So I just wanted to share that little tidbit with you. We talked about before the break how Black Lives Matter is hurting local businesses. There's something going on here in Flemington that is equally as destructive. Now, in Flemington, New Jersey, there's a big argument over, does a new developer come in and tear down the old Union Hotel and a couple of other buildings to build a new kind of like a downtown center, if you will, or do we leave everything the way it is and just wait for a miracle, I guess, or for something to happen? But there's not a whole lot on the solution side as far as what to do if you leave the hotel intact and you leave the other buildings intact and no life. There's no guests in the hotel. The restaurant isn't open or something like that. Nobody seems to be able to come up with that answer. So there's signs popping up all over town, and some of them say support development, but don't destroy the buildings, things. And others are now, there's these blue posters popping up all over town that say, yes, they support new development, and that, you know, basically what it's inferring is that it's time to move forward and, you know, knock these buildings down so we can have a new town center. So there are a couple people in town who are now taking pictures of any business that are posting the blue signs in their windows, and they're posting them all over Facebook, and they're suggesting to people that they not shop with those businesses. I can't think of a dumber thing in my existence than to tell people not to shop at a business in your town. So when people stop shopping there and they go out of business, you'll say, oh, that's a shame. You know, you did it. Let's all understand that there's going to be people who own businesses that are Republicans, and you might be a Democrat. There's going to be people who are white. You may be black. Everybody has differences of opinion. Everybody comes into the relationship differently. But to start attacking businesses and say, don't shop there, absolutely unacceptable. So keep you posted on the progress with that. There are 10 great ways to boost your local search ranking. Now, local search is a powerful way for small business owners to reach new customers and generate leads. When a customer uses the internet to research product or services, they're not just looking for any business. They're looking for a business in their neighborhood or city. And you want to make sure that your business is at the top of those local search results. Fortunately, you can boost your local search ranking with some top tips from digital marketing experts. And I just happen to have them here for you now. Number one, you want to fill out your Google My Business page. Now, one of the simplest yet most effective ways to boost your local search ranking is to register with Google My Business. To get the most out of the listing, fill out all of the fields, including your address, phone number, business hours. You get bonus points for adding photos of your location and staff to personalize your profile even further. Number two, you want to build consistent NAP, which stands for name, address, and phone. Now, when Google crawls the web for search results, it's looking for mentions of your business's name, address, and phone number, NAP. Even slight variations like an abbreviated street address can confuse Google, so it's important to make sure that your NAP is consistent in every citation on or off your website. Number three, claim all online listings. Now, online business listings are an important part of local search engine optimization. Creating links that lead back to your website in conjunction with consistent NAP citations raises your business's online visibility and signals to Google that your website is relevant and trustworthy. Number four, you want to get off-site backlinks. Online business listings aren't the only way to get links. Encourage other websites, including local media and bloggers, to link to your website by getting out into the community. Sponsoring and attending events can help cultivate offline connections that lead to online exposure. Number five, localize your landing pages. Don't just list your business's name in the title and content of your homepage. Include the city you operate in as well. The more specific you are with the city or even the neighborhood, say Hollywood rather than Los Angeles, for example, the better your chances of ranking high on search result pages. Number six, you want to use long-tail keywords. Now, using keywords to target niche markets, this strategy not only helps customers find your specific service, it also helps you rank higher because your website is using less competitive search terms. For example, using long-tail keywords like real estate attorney Austin, Texas, instead of just lawyer Austin. You also want to build a mobile-friendly website. Now, thanks to the ever-increasing number of searches on mobile devices, Google changed its algorithm to privilege mobile-friendly websites in its results. If you want to boost your local search ranking, your website needs to look good on smartphones and tablets as well as on desktop computers. So start by running your website through Google's mobile-friendly test. Number eight, respond to reviews. Now, when customers leave reviews on Google or any other website, it helps to boost your search ranking. You can encourage customers to go online and leave reviews, and if they do, it's important to respond gracefully to both positive and negative comments. This will help improve your reputation with searchers as well. You want to post local content. Providing extra value to customers with a blog, FAQ page, or other local content also makes your website more attractive to search engines. If you're aiming to rank in local search results, remember to give your content a local spin by writing about topics that are relevant to your area. And number 10, you want to keep the user experience in mind. Now, when it comes to implementing good local SEO, the most important thing is to think like a customer. Google wants to deliver the best experience for each searcher, and so should you. That's why it's important to have an easy-to-use, informative website. Currently 12:38. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Glad you could join us as always, as we do every Thursday around this time. There was another story that I wanted to get to, and this would be probably the ideal time to do that. Let me just check one more thing. Yes. So in the show preview, I mentioned how to create the perfect post on Facebook. And I wasn't talking about, you know, the latest recipe or a picture of your cat. I'm talking about as it pertains to business. So you know in business that you need to post on Facebook. With 1.7 billion users, you better be out there. The social media giant is a great platform for connecting with customers of all stripes. But as you stare at the site's ever-present prompt, you blank. What's on your mind? Tough question. So to get your mental juices flowing, I've created this template to encourage you to create at least one post per day. So take these five easy elements and assemble them into your own successful Facebook post. Number one, keep it short and sweet. A whopping 40 characters, believe it or not, is the ideal length for a Facebook post, according to TrackMaven. That doesn't give you much room to make your point, but brevity is the soul of wit, as they say. If you have a lot to say, preview it on Facebook and then link it to a blog post, a video, or a landing page on your website. Now, we're not advocating clickbait here. Sensationalized teases are bound to disappoint your followers, but if you can pull out an interesting quote or intriguing number that makes readers wonder what's going on, they are more likely to click through onto your business's website to find out more. Number two, you want to create a clickable call to action. Now, your readers aren't going to interact with a post that seems one-sided. The best part of the social media community is that it's made for two-way conversations. So start a dialogue or prompt an action with a great call to action. Tell readers how you would like them to interact with you. And here are a couple of examples of successful phrases to get you started. Try it for free. Get started now. Order yours today. Learn more. Sign up. Start now. Get it today only. Get your free, fill in the blank. Subscribe now. See how it works. Experience it for yourself. While supplies last, claim yours. Just a couple of teaser words that will get people to be interested. Number three, tag. You're it. Facebook allows you to tag others in your post. Are you bragging about your before and after look of a client's office makeover? Well, tag them in it and share the limelight. It's best to get permission first. This is a great way to give a shout out to your clients and show others what you can do. Number four, you want to track success with links. Now, tied closely to your call to action is adding a link. But just adding a link to the homepage of your website is not only a cop-out, but it won't really create any desired action. So be sure to link directly to the blog post or product page that you are referencing in your post. You should even consider creating landing pages for certain campaigns. But none of this is any good if you aren't tracking. Facebook does a great job of tracking how many clicks and engagements your post is getting, but you need to know what customers do when they get to your website. Links too long? Check out Bitly, Hootsuite, and similar web tools that do a superior job of tracking clicks and can also shorten your links. Facebook has a link preview feature in which your audience can see what you are clicking through to see. This can be very helpful if you have a highly visual website and the images on your webpage get pulled into Facebook correctly. Number five, let's get visual. Now, genuine photos from your business are the best, but not always practical. Even if you take a stock photo, dress it up with your branding. Add a quote that teases what your audience can expect if they click on your link. This can be created for free with a template from Canva or a similar site. According to a 2014 eMarketer study, photos garner an 87% interaction rate from fans. With numbers like that, images certainly need to be a part of your post. Put the post together. Now that you understand the five elements of the perfect Facebook post, let's put them all together. Remember, you need to incorporate the following: an attention-grabbing headline, a call to action, tag another Facebook user. You want to have a brief link that can be provided by Bitly, and a photo that's eye-catching and branded. So there's a couple ideas on how to make good Facebook posts. The number one tip for business: post something every day. You don't have to post 10 posts, but post something every day. It could be something on sale, a picture of your showroom, an interesting quote or something like that. But make sure you're using it every day and keep engaged with your customers. We're looking at 12:43. We're going to step away for our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the five tips that may help you find new clients. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years.
I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. So glad I could join you. Looking forward to it. Next week, I believe, is the Hunterdon County 4-H Fair. So if you're looking for something to do, family fun entertainment, you may want to head over to the Hunterdon County 4-H and Agricultural Fair. Also coming up in November the 10th to be exact, will be the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Expo. It's not too early for you to reserve a booth for your business to appear at the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo. Great way to meet a lot of people coming in through the doors to visit businesses, the restaurant showcase, and for you to network with other businesses in the county. So if you need more information, by all means, call the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce at 782-7115 for more information on the Chamber Expo and restaurant showcase. Now, obviously, when I go to the Chamber Expo, I'm looking to develop relationships with new customers. If you're on the hunt to find new clients, here's five tips that may help you do just that. Now, tapping into your network and your staff's know-how may help you find new clients and boost sales, according to a lot of small business owners. No matter how carefully we plan or how hard we work, there are times when we find ourselves with a need for a cash infusion. Sure, you could pay for some expenses with a credit card or ask for a loan, but more debt may mean you're kicking the can down a road that could end up being a super steep hill. You could scramble for investors, but if you're in financial trouble, some investors may not think you're the best investment. One way to get out of a cash flow pickle is by bringing in more cash from new clients. Isn't that a novel idea? Now, if you need to find new clients, you may want to consider using one of these powerful strategies to help you attract new customers. The first is work a new niche. Now, if you realize you're seeing all the same faces when it comes to your customers, it may be time to branch out and to find new ones. One of the best, most enduring ways to bring in new business is to reach out to a segment of the population that you're not currently serving. Consider looking for ways in which you can tailor your offerings to appeal specifically to your new niche clients. For example, if you run a dry cleaning business, try reaching out to local businesses with a special deal on cleaning corporate uniforms. Thinking outside the box may help you find new clients. Number two, you want to offer an incentive for referrals.
Your current clients may have a larger reach than you realize. Offering an incentive for any new business they bring you may help attract new customers. And if they're happy with you, they'll be happy to offer referrals. Now, whether you offer a discount on future purchases or a cool thank you gift, consider letting your customers know you appreciate it when they spread the word about how wonderful your company is. Number three, brainstorm with your staff. Just because the young man who answers the phone isn't out of college yet doesn't mean he can't offer you valuable insight. If you're scrambling to find new clients, consider having a sit-down with your entire staff, either individually or together. One of the best, most enduring ways to bring in new business is to reach out to a segment of the population that you're not currently serving. Asking for suggestions about ways you can broaden your reach and appeal to new customers may help you attract new business. Your young employees in particular may have methods that you're not currently using or don't even know about for outreach. Number four, work out a trade with friends in other industries. Now, I want to be very clear here. I'm not advising you to trade your customer's contact information without their permission, nor am I suggesting that you give your customer contact information with other companies. What I am suggesting is that you consider looking around at the completely unrelated businesses your friends run and working out a mutual referral plan. So if a customer of yours comes in to pick up a pizza, you hand them your friend's business card with an offer for a free lawn care quote. Your landscaper friend passes out discount coupons for your restaurant. Making sure you're taking advantage of every networking possibility and being particularly vigilant about reaching every potential client in your community. It may help you find new clients. It can also be a great way to preach and practice the gospel of supporting local businesses. Number five, you want to create a premium offering. Now, this strategy may sound counterintuitive, but let me make the case. Some consumers can be price conscious and they may price shop to get the best deal they can find. But some consumers may be willing to pay more for exclusive, high-priced options as long as they feel like they're getting good value. You may want to study your business and find a way to offer a premium product or package of services that will appeal to your top-tier clients. Your premium offering may also help you find new clients. And here's a bonus tip. If you're selling a service, consider making your premium package a prepaid offering so that you get cash up front and your clients get great value over the long haul. It's easy to feel hopeless when the bills mount and revenue can't keep up, but keeping an open mind and testing new strategies may produce a healthy crop of new customers and a fresh infusion of income. So hopefully those tips will help you out as well and gain you some more new clients. And the one thing I liked there was one of those first sentences, if you want to do more business, get more clients. It's as simple as that, and yet people – you know, they come up with a million excuses and reasons why they can't do it. But if you want to make more money, get more clients. How about doing good? How can small businesses do well by doing good? Now, tackling big problems like hunger, poverty, and environmental degradation is no longer the sole territory of charities and nonprofits. More and more businesses are seeing the potential of combining profit and purpose. Social enterprise is a term applied to businesses that use commercial strategies to improve communities and the environment. These companies often measure their social impact in addition to their bottom line. Social enterprises come in all sizes, and that includes many small businesses. Most of my clients are in the 10 employees and under category, says Shel Horowitz, author of Guerrilla Marketing to Heal the World. Small businesses are well positioned to see the opportunity to integrate social responsibility and grab it because there's no extra steps or approval you have to go through like at a big corporation. There are lots of ways to build a more socially conscious business, including recycling, reducing waste, sourcing responsibly, doing pro bono work, or donating a portion of your profits. If you'd like to give back but don't know where to begin, start by looking at your core skills and competencies. Think about how those things can help meet needs, said Horowitz. Where can you have the most impact with your expertise? New Orleans-based marketing agency Hero Farm found a way to use their expertise for the greater good. The company is committed to doing at least one pro bono project a year, and they've offered branding and marketing help to charities such as New Orleans Mission, the American Cancer Society, and Big Brothers Big Sisters. The homeless population had exploded because of Hurricane Katrina, and it was something we saw and wanted to help out with, said agency co-founder Sean Walker. We partnered with New Orleans Mission and asked them, what issues are you running into and how can we help? Based on that conversation, the organization was able to update the New Orleans Mission logo and sponsor a special event highlighting services for the homeless across the city. Other companies chose to make sustainability a core part of their product line. Deltec Homes, a small home building company in Asheville, North Carolina, offers customizable prefabricated homes that range from simply energy efficient all the way to net zero. Over the past decade or so, the company has worked to make the home production process as green as possible. We dug into waste and got it down, built a huge solar plant to build the homes. It's now a key part of who Deltek is, said Deltek President Steve Linton. The leaders of these companies reap a sense of personal satisfaction and significant business benefits from their focus on doing good. Walker noted that working with well-known nonprofits has boosted their own reputation with customers and garnered positive media attention. Deltek, meanwhile, applied for and secured its certified B Corp status. B Corps are companies that meet rigorous standards for environmental and social accountability set forth by the nonprofit B Lab. It surprised me how many people were aware of this and commented us how proud they were that we accomplished this status, Linton said. A lot of companies say they're green, but the B Corp status gives customers a higher level of confidence that we're a responsible company. Horowitz isn't all surprised by the customers' react by these types of businesses. People are looking to patronize socially responsible businesses, he said. Of course, that means customers need to know about all the good your company is doing, so don't be afraid to advertise your efforts. Don't hide this under a bushel, Horowitz said. I'm surprised by how even big companies seem hesitant to brag about their social contributions. It's currently 12:55. You're listening to Taking Care of Business, and we're getting towards the end of the hour, which means we now have to figure out what it is we will be talking about for the next 5 minutes, and here's a good one to get it started. There are four questions that you should ask before choosing a merchant processor. Now, for many small business owners, accepting credit card payments is a must. Customers have come to expect the ease and flexibility of paying with a credit card, and accepting them can help increase your sales. But when it comes to credit card processing, if you don't look for the best fit and the best deal for your business, you could be losing money on fees. If you're shopping around for a merchant processor, it's important to ask the right questions, said Ellen Cunningham, who is the marketing manager at Cardfellow. She shared the list of the following tips to help you evaluate merchant processors. Number one, do you use tiered pricing, and what are your qualified rates? Tiered pricing models are often expensive and non-transparent, while interchange plus pricing and flat rate pricing can potentially offer lower costs. References to qualified and non-qualified rates indicate tiered pricing. What are your fees beyond the rates? You want to find out upfront if there's a monthly fee, an annual fee, a PCI compliance fee, a statement fee, a setup fee, a maintenance fee, etc. Is there a cancellation fee? If so, see if you can get it waived. There's no reason to agree to a cancellation fee. And do you refund interchange to me if I give a customer a refund? One smaller way businesses lose money is when they give a customer a refund and don't get a portion of their processing fee back from the original transaction. Just a couple questions to keep in mind when looking for a merchant processor. And again, the percentages, sometimes an eighth of a percent, a quarter of a percent, can mean thousands of dollars back in your pocket by the end of the year. So you're going to want to look at your card processing fees as well. Chamber of Commerce August Card Club will be held Tuesday, August 25th. That's going to be at the Hunterdon County YMCA Camp Carr, which is at 1 Camp Buck Road in Annandale, New Jersey. Registration is required, so visit www.hunterdon-chamber.org for more details. Great way to network your business is by attending one of the card clubs. And in September, the card club will be at Northfield Bank at 56 Main Street in Flemington, New Jersey, on September 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. So you want to make sure you're putting your marking that on your calendar, saving the date, and get out there and get networking. And you never know, you may find some of those new clients we were talking about right there. In sports, in NASCAR, Justin Marks won the rain-soaked Xfinity race at Mid-Ohio last week. The Sprint Cup teams are back in action this Saturday night at Bristol Motor Speedway. NFL training camps are underway, which means the regular season and fantasy season are starting soon as well. In Major League Baseball, the regular season is underway, and the Blue Jays, Indians, and Rangers lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National League. Don't forget to visit the filling station at the patio tomorrow night and Saturday night here in Flemington from 5 to 10 p.m. As always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. When he said, and maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I am taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC.